We got our citizenship this, I guess, 2 years ago now. So we now are, well, Ni Vanuatu, not just citizens, but naturalized citizens. We had a village that adopted us into the village, that we are blood family to them now. Great opportunity, a village called Lembinwin. There's a village up and around the side, or at least used to be a village, the ruins of the village there, in a place called Vorilislis. And that's ground that they've actually given, you know, we work with, or if you don't, we work with my in-laws. And so they gave some ground together to them and to us. One of the things they tell me I have to do when we get back is build a little house on that ground to properly claim it. But it was cursed ground. Vanuatu is an area that they believe a lot in, well, sorcery and witchcraft. They call it custom, or Nykamas is a part of life, and the fear of it is there for many. Christianity has been merged with a lot of those beliefs, where trying to find the separation between the two is nearly impossible anymore. For those of you that were here in Sunday school, we've had people tell us that we were, you know, horrible Christians because we didn't put the custom religion before Christianity, before Christ. And so there's a lot of conflict that way within Vanuatu. Virtually every village will have a church. But those churches are going to have that same definition that you heard this morning in Sunday school, custom first, and then whatever parts of Christianity fit after. And we know that that is not what the Bible defines as being in Christ, being Christian. This is not, well, compatible. And so we're praying and having opportunities to reach out. This one village was a cursed village. People, well, a lot of people had died in the village through sickness and other things, and so they all left. They abandoned the village. There's the ruins of an old Anglican church there, Anglican church, one of the very first churches to come to the island of Malekula. And nothing else. It's all bush. And so we spent the first night there, and they came up the next morning to check and see. We found out later if, you know, we were still okay. If the missionaries survived the darkness and proclaimed, Georgina's dad, who we've seen come to Christ since then, proclaimed the light has returned to Vorilislis. Huge opportunities like that. Now, there's no church there yet, but we're praying for an opportunity to see if, Lord's willing, a church there and a young man to go to that area. So many other opportunities. So I won't go through everything right now. I'll let the presentation do what it's designed to do, and then I'll go ahead and say a little bit more after. So if we're ready for the presentation, we can go ahead and get that going. Welcome to the islands of Vanuatu. We are Jim and Ari Herzl, serving in the nation of Vanuatu for over 15 years. We are reaching the many islands through the capital city of Port Vila, working together with missionaries Steve and Lynn Spohr. Port Vila serves as a central hub for the nation of Vanuatu, a place of great need, great opportunity, and great beauty. Both in our constitution and on our coins, it says, "In God we stand, long God you may stand up," but many lives are still held under the shadow of custom religion. It is this mixture of traditional religion and Christianity that causes such a challenge for so many through the nation of Vanuatu. There is so much work to be done yet, so many lives to be touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ, those searching for something more than the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, something found in Christ alone.
When we first started on deputation in 2004, we asked for churches to join with us in reaching out to the youth of Vanuatu. We prayed together for numerical and spiritual growth, and we asked God to build a firm foundation based purely in His Word. God answered these prayers mightily and beyond, and we saw not only the building of this spiritual foundation, but the blessings of a new building and room to continue in growth. In our second term, we continued to see God working mightily in His people, seeing souls saved and following in believers' baptism. The church continued to grow as we saw over 400 in attendance at our Roundup Sunday, with standing room only in many occasions, thanks to the faithful witness in our communities from our youth and church members. And God continued to bless with the finishing of our second building project, giving room for the school to continue to grow to grade 8. Pastor Nicholson, our first local church trained, ordained, supported, and sent missionary, went out and started a fruitful ministry. And we finished in the island of Santo with the first Baptist Pastors Conference in the history of the nation of Vanuatu. God has continued to open great doors of opportunity through His work. We were blessed to have the president of Vanuatu attend services, and clearly after services state that the only hope for Vanuatu is through Jesus Christ alone. A new prison ministry has also begun. We have services both in minimum security and high-risk prisons. A door was also opened for us to preach to our nation's newest military recruits, where Brother Sore preached salvation and security in Jesus Christ. Five of our men also had the amazing chance to preach to every island in the nation through the national radio station. God has continued to work in the lives of our school staff as men and women surrender their lives to full-time service. Each year we have over 200 students whose lives are reached with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. A solid foundation is being built in God's Word so that these future generations will be able to rightly divide the Word of Truth. Our youth ministries have continued to flourish under the leadership and preaching of Hosea and the faithful support of his wife, Georgina. The church itself also continues to grow, seeing times where we've had to expand our services outside to the veranda for lack of room inside the church building. Through these and many other doors of ministry, God has continued to grow His church in the capital of Port Vila. Continue to pray with us for those faithful men who have stepped up to allow God to work in their lives. Pray for the next generation found in our Bible College students. So much opportunity rests in the future for them. We also had a wide-open opportunity together with a team from Reach for the Truth, missionary Jeremy Pinero, and our ministries here in Port Vila to be able to pass out well over 4,000 creation science books in over 3 different islands, to be able to preach without restriction and without hesitation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thousands of teachers and students heard a clear gospel presentation and the truth of creation in the Creator's words, to preach more than just evolution, but to be able to teach the truth of God's creation. Pray that much fruit would come from this opportunity in the future of the country of Vanuatu. Our ministry reaches beyond the bounds of Port Vila and into mission trips to outer islands and remote villages. One such outreach is to Georgina's village of Lembinwin, where we have been adopted as family. We were so blessed to see the marriage of Hosea and Georgina during this last trip. Pray for an open door to see church started in this village in the future of the ministry. Across the crashing waves and open ocean, we've had many trips to Malfacal, where Pastor Nicholson's church is. In our last trip, we met Pastor Nicholson's new grandson, baby Jim, born the morning of our arrival. We saw the great work that God is doing in Malfacal and the growth of the church, completely outgrown the existing church building and now meeting outdoors under a sheet metal roof. Ronald, one of my Bible college men, joined me to preach and teach on our last trip to the village of Malfacao. There is so much more to share, and so very little time. I would like to end with a small portion of the fruit that abounds to your account. Just a glimpse into the faces of those saved and following their Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your part, joining together with us in the ministry here in Vanuatu to reach the many islands with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is still so much work to be done, so many islands to reach, so many needs, so many people, so many villages that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our time is limited. In Revelation 16:20, it says, "And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found." There is a limited time to reach these islands. And I'd ask you to pray with us that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that His light, His life, His salvation, the truth of His word can reach these islands before our time is finished, before the opportunity is lost. I would ask you to pray with us as our Savior pleaded. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest.
We do have a display in the back, or prayer cards. Do please take a prayer card. Communicate with us. If you'd like to get the prayer letters, we've got our email down at the bottom. Other information, if I can keep from throwing it away. Thank you for your faithfulness again. And I fully, 100%, mean it and believe it from my heart. This is because of your faithfulness, the part that this church has had in our ministry. So, I hope it's an encouragement to see a little bit of what God's doing. Continue to pray for Vanuatu. We've been there 16 years now, and I still say just getting started. There is so much more to do. This is about six islands that have a constant gospel presence in 85 total. So there's a lot of work to be done in Vanuatu still, a lot of places that still have not been reached. Ronald's dad that you saw the second baptism where the wave crashed into us was terrified going out into the water. He's back in his island now and has a real burden. He had preached in that area, a powerful testimony that he had preached and he had thought that he had, well, seen the fulfillment of the prophecy on the island of Tanna of the John Front movement, that a church had come and this was it. This was Christ returning. And he says, but I knew that I wasn't ready to see him. That if I were to see Christ and stand before his face, he'd tell me, I have no idea who you are. I don't know you. And we saw him saved in the church, stood up, gave that testimony before his baptism. And he's praying for someone. He's doing what he can to preach there. And so many other opportunities that we just, time doesn't allow for everything. But there is a lot happening. So come and talk to us. We're able to tell you about more things. And like I said, if I don't know the answer, I'm willing to say I don't know. But I will find the answer for you. So feel free to ask anything about Vanuatu. If you go with me to Genesis chapter 24. Now, before I do that, because when I introduced myself, I did say that we do have our girls with us, and I had a couple of people ask. Unfortunately, we don't have any of their pictures on the prayer cards or on the rest, but I will mention that if you do want to see, you can talk to my wife. She has some wedding photos from Rochelle and things like that, so I'll give you a little bit of an update on the girls as well, because for many of you, you saw them grow up. They've been in your Sunday school classes. They're a part of this church. So feel free to come and ask. You can see that and continue to be a part of their lives that way as well. Genesis chapter 24. I want to look a little bit in the lesson this morning about, again, a title, if we'd have it for it. The lesson is I Being in the Way. And this is something that can have one or two different ways to think about. And I'm not sure when you hear that, what you think about it. I being in the way. Can either be a positive or it can be a negative. It was just a few, couple of Sundays ago, I believe, or maybe on a Thursday. I don't remember exactly which. But through Proverbs, Pastor Bailey had looked at a lot of verses showing that focus on what is the way that God has for us, the right way, as opposed to the many ways that are in this world that are open to people to walk. And in Genesis 24, verse 27, it says this. It says, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Let's open in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that this morning you would help us to, Lord, be in the way, not in the way. And Lord, I pray that you would challenge us. Lord, I thank you and praise you for all that you're doing in Vanuatu and, Lord, for this church, the heart that they've had, Lord, for so many years now. Lord, before we had even considered going to Vanuatu, Lord, the part that they've had in our lives, and thank you for it. Lord, I pray today, Lord, you'd use your word. Lord, remove me and my thoughts. And Lord, I pray that your word would be clear. Lord, that you know the hearts. You know where we are. Lord, I pray that if there is one today that has any doubt, like Ronald Stad, any worries, any fears, that's not ready to stand before your face and to know with absolute certainty that you would know them, that they are yours, that they have a personal relationship with you. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, they would be able to get that settled in their heart through your word. Lord, those of us that can say with certainty, I know now, Lord, I pray, help us to stand for you. Lord, to be in your way, not in the way. And Lord, I pray that you would use this time. But again, we give every bit of the glory and the honor, Lord, for all that you've done, and Lord, for what you're willing to do and ready to do in our lives. Lord, we give that to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Vanuatu, there's a lot of different ways to get from place to place. Vanuatu, one of the challenges is the logistics of the country. That one of the ways to look at it, and I've said this before, it's like taking a Rhode Island size of land and chopping it up into little pieces and then spreading it over a Texas-sized portion of ocean. It's one of the best ways that I've been able to help visualize how spread out things are in Vanuatu. It can take hours or days, sometimes up to a week, just to travel from one island to the other by boat within Vanuatu. There's not airstrips on every island. There's not roads on, well, the majority of the island, or at least not what we would recognize as roads. Most of what you do is travel by boat in especially the smaller islands. Pastor Nicholson's village, the only way you get to it is by boat after a little bit of a hike and after a plane flight. So it's a challenge to get there. It's not easy. We've had people that have talked about the team that came where we were able to be in the schools. We passed out about 5,000, over 5,000 all up. It was nearly 7,000 books that we passed out with solid gospel presentation in it. And each and every one of those schools heard the gospel. First and foremost, that team, and one of the reasons why we were able to work with them is they said, our goal here, yes, is to teach about creation, to teach about what God's word shows, that science is part of God's creation, and to show that it's not a choice between evolution or God, science or the Bible, that science is biblical. But they said, our goal primarily is to preach the gospel. And they did. We had huge opportunities. They wanted to get to Pastor Nicholson's village. And when you explain some of the challenges with it, well, it's a plane flight first, and then you hit the runway. It's a grass runway. You walk down to the cliff. Many of you have heard how to get there. It's not easy. The last trip that we went, Adam had told me, he said, all right, you got to tell this. So I guess I'll take just a minute because it gives a good example of what it's like. The last trip that we went to Malfacao, Ronald went with me. You saw a picture of Ronald in the presentation preaching in the services there. It was a great opportunity. First time he'd been to an island other than his island and the capital island of Afate. So completely different culture to what he was used to on this other island. But he went with us, and he had never flown. So he was a bit, you know, like the first time you fly, you're afraid to fly. Never been on a plane before. And they're just little prop planes, you know, small room. I got to bend over, you know, almost in half to walk down the aisle of it. It's a small plane. And so you get on the plane, and you hear everything. Every rattle, every bit of wind, it whistles through the plane. It's, well, challenging the first time. And I told him, don't worry about it. It's not too rough. There may be just a couple of bumps. And it was rough. I mean, guys that are flying all the time are in the plane yelling out, looking around, you know, what's going on. The pilots are getting nervous. And I'm looking at Ronald saying, it's all right. It's good. This is normal. You know, we're fine. And we got to the ground. And he said, Pastor, that was not what you said. And I said, no, it wasn't. So never seen it like that before. And so let's pray that going back, it's different. But that's the worst part of it. We're going to get on the boat now. The boat's going to be fine. So we walked down to where the boat was. We got on the boat, and it was a perfectly, you know, clear skies, blue, sunshine, wonderful, smooth, beautiful. I thought, all right, this part's easy. We got going, and I took a little bit of the footage because it started to get a little bit choppier. And I thought, okay, this is good. We'll just get a little bit of footage of it. And, you know, you're up, maybe 2-3 seconds in some of the places, then you'd slam down on the water again, and decent chop, decent waves, but not too bad, okay? And Ronald was fine with that. He was still standing up. He'd look over every once in a while, and it's like, no, all right, this is okay. And then it got dark. And if you've ever been in a tropics, places like that, it just gets dark all of a sudden. No clouds, dark and clouds. And it started getting bigger. The rain started coming, the wind started blowing, that camera went away because I was just holding on, trying not to fall out of this little 15-foot aluminum or aluminum boat, get the right pronunciation here, and we say aluminum. So aluminum boat, just a small boat. It's a fishing boat. It's designed to be close to water, or close to land. There was no land to be seen anywhere, and these waves start coming. It's dark, the wind's blowing, we're getting just soaked with rain, and Ronald's sitting down now holding on like me. And everybody's just holding on. So I look back at the driver thinking, you know, all right, are we okay? Do we need to turn around? Are we going to die? What's going to happen here? And he looks at me. I look at him, and I kind of, you know, a little bit of a smile, like, are we okay? And so he looks back, big smile and thumbs up. And I thought, okay, he's comfortable. He does this all the time. This is, you know, his everyday for him. So I'm holding on, and, you know, I've got all of these stories of the Bible of storms and times of trouble going through my mind. And I'm thinking, I had no clue. I thought, you know, what's wrong with them? Why didn't they have faith? And I'm sitting there going through, Lord, help my faith. Right? We're going to die, Lord. And a whole new realization of what some of these, concerns were about. And it's like, okay, I understand a little bit more now. And it gets even worse. You're on these waves where you're up on the top of it and you're just trying to balance on them as much as you can. And then you fall down into this, you know, ravine of water. It's crazy. And you get down in it and you just see water on both sides and no dry land anywhere. So you're going through that. And Ronald's now, he's just, you know, holding on and kind of looking at me like, you know, Pastor, you said. And the boat driver, I'd look back occasionally and we're okay. All right. We kept going and finally got there. And I told Ronald, I said, Ronald, that's it. You're Jonah. From now on, you are Jonah. The plane, the boat, you're Jonah. I've never seen it like that before. And so Ronald is now Jonah. It is. Everybody in the church calls him Jonah. The boat driver, the next day, we went up and he gave us some lemon juice that he had made and got a chance to talk to him. And he says, Pastor, I thought we were going to die. I said, what? He says, I thought we were going to die. I've never seen it like that before. I said, you were smiling and, you know, and he says, no. I was ready to turn around and go back when it started getting bad. And you looked at me and you gave me a thumbs up and smiled. And he said, well, I thought God knows what's going on, so I'm just going to keep going. And I'm looking at him thinking, we're going to die. Do we need to go back? And he's looking at me saying, we're going to die. Do we need to go back? And we're both going, yeah. And so we kept going anyways, and God protected us, even though neither of us had a clue what was going on. And we got there alive and safe. And, I would say not too wet, but that would be a lie. So we were soaked to the bone. The whole village just, why did you come? Why are you here? When we got there, it was amazing. Baby Jim that was born, such an honor that day. We found out another boat had been out in it and had broken in half that same day in the storm. So God really looked after us. But when you're in the way where he wants you to be, you're safe, no matter what you're in. This here, we see an example. We have Eleazar. This is not for him. It's not a task for him, for his glory, for his reward, for anything. He's finding a wife for his master's son, Rebekah, for Isaac. And he says the whole point of this is purely for God's glory. And if that's where we walk, then we can see some amazing things happen through God's, his will in our life. And John 7, verse 17 and 18 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. It says you'll know the difference, whether this is of God or whether it's just of man alone. 18, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. So the challenge today is I being in the way or I being in the way. We have the example there in Genesis of someone that was in the way. And God blessed him because he was in the way. But we have other examples as well. If you go with me to Numbers 22. This is an example of someone saying, I being in the way. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can do that, and we can do it even in God's name, saying, you know, I'm in God's way. And the truth of it is, we are in God's way. Not in the way we should be, but we're in the way. And this is an example of a man who claimed God's name, who was in the way. In Numbers 22, verse 21, we'll read down through 27. Verse 21 says, and Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, the king of the Amorites, saying, let me pass through thy land. And chapter 22. That's twice I've done that now. Verse 21. And Balaam, now we're in the right place. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. So he's obviously not following God's will. Okay. Now, God allowed this, but this was not God's plan. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now, he was riding upon his ass, and two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. Balaam is forcing his way here. Even the donkey that he's riding has more sense than Balaam, saying, no, look, this is not the right way. God is standing in the way as an adversary against you. This is not the way you should go. And he says, no, I'm going my way. And so he smote the ass to turn her into the way. Verse 24, but the angel of the Lord stood in a path, second time now, of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. So it's getting narrower. Before, it's wide open and he forces the way. Now it's getting narrower. Okay? A wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further. See, by now, Balaam's probably figuring he's having a pretty bad day. All right? This faithful animal that has always done what he's asked is completely going against him now. Twice now, disobeyed him, and now crushed his foot up against this wall. What is wrong with this animal? This is not a good day for Balaam. Okay? And he smote her again, and the angel of the Lord, third time now, went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or the left. Now, there's no option. There's no way around. This is now one choice. You go through or you stop. That's it. Up until now, there were ways around. Now, it cost Balaam something. It crushed his foot going around. Okay, he suffered because of it, but he managed to find a way around to force his way. At this point, there's no way for him to force his way now. There's one option. Okay, there was no way to turn either the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. This is Balaam. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in this way. Say, Lord, I'm doing this. I've got a way. Lord, this is the right way. Things keep getting in the way of it, but I'm gonna force my way in. And sometimes we suffer for it. Balaam had a crushed foot because of it. He kept trying to force his way, thinking it was the right way. In verse 28, says, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And I've always wondered, you know, how Balaam didn't get this. All right? But if you've ever been that mad, where you're just, your anger has completely brimmed over and you're out of control, all right? Well, there's a lot of things that you miss afterwards. You come back and say, how did I miss that? Well, maybe that's where Balaam was here. Yeah, I think this would have kind of got through to him now. And she said unto Balaam, so his donkey's talking to him now, okay? And he's still so angry that he doesn't even register. He says, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? He says, look, I've been faithful to you all the time up until now. He says, was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Never done this before. This is the first time. He said, well, no, you haven't. In verse 31, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. See, Balaam's way was the wrong way. He was in the wrong place. And he was getting upset with absolutely everyone other than the man that he should have got upset with. It was the donkey's fault. It was somebody else's fault. It was not Balaam's fault. Okay? He says, I'm determined. I'm going to force my way. And it cost him. And now he's so furious, he's ready to kill the animal that's been faithful to him, that's trying to save his life. And he doesn't see it. He doesn't see it. Verse 31 says, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed his head, and he fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee, and saved her alive. Said Balaam, if your faithful animal had not turned away these three times that you beat her for, I would have saved her life and taken yours. You would have been a dead man three times over, baby. I was in your way, and you didn't see me. Now his eyes are open. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. Now we won't go through the entire story of Balaam. There was a lesson that God had here still in Balaam's life. But for today, this small portion is what I want us to look at. This was a man that was able to say, I being in the way. And sometimes if we're not careful, it's easy for us to think we're doing what's right, to try to do what's right, to do what makes sense to us, and say, but I've got to keep fighting. I've got to keep going, no matter what the cost. I'm going to accomplish this. And sometimes we end up with crushed feet, and we end up with frustrations and angers, and we just can't figure out why everything in the world seems to be against us. Even this animal, this friend, this one that's been so faithful is turning against me now. And what is happening in my life that everything is conspiring against me when I'm trying to do this one thing? And sometimes we miss that the reason is because, well, they see something we don't. And it's not because they're trying to destroy us. It's not because they're trying to make us angry. It's not because they're trying to ruin our life or cause us pain. It's because they're trying to say, look, this is the wrong way. And if you continue, there's nothing but death at the end of that road. They see something that we don't see. And sometimes that causes a lot of frustration. That we think we see the right way, and we get in that idea, man, everything here, and he's mad at his donkey, ready to kill it, when it was just trying to keep him from running into the sword of this angel, running into opposition, being an adversary to God himself. And that's a dangerous place to be. See, sometimes success is fleeting simply because the way is wrong. And we need to realize that sometimes and be willing to say, well, Lord, is this the right way? Because if it's not, if I keep forcing the way, it's just going to get more and more costly. And sometimes there's suffering that happens because we're forcing the wrong way. And God himself is standing against us in the way, not to hurt us, not to make us suffer, not because he takes any pleasure in that, but to try and get us to see him and to change our way. And three times, three opportunities before God finally just said, all right, Balaam, enough. Look. Look at what you're missing. Okay. And Balaam was in the way. In 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. See, this is God's plan, right? And so many people say, well, why would a loving God, and you hear all these different things, but that all should come to repentance. Our God is a loving God. That is why Jesus Christ came, to show that there's a different way. And we just have to make sure that we're looking to the right way. There's been time after time, example after example, I could give you through Vanuatu, testimonies of men that have stood up and said, I thought I was serving God. I thought I was doing right. Many of you have heard Pastor Nicholson's testimony. For 30 years, he was a pastor in his village where he is now, up on the top, not down at the bottom where he is. A much nicer area up on the top. The sun shines there a lot more. It's a much more pleasant area up on top. And he was a pastor, well-respected. In the church that he was a part of, he was one of the most respected men. They'd send him on conferences. And last time he was in the Capitol, he talked with me. And he says, Pastor, I had a lot more than I have now. He said there was more people that I had a chance to preach to. I went to every island in Vanuatu. People would pay for my tickets and he says, I went everywhere. I preached everywhere. I did a lot more. And he said, in the 30 years of my life, he said, Pastor, they were empty. I wasted 30 years of my life. And he says, and now it's much smaller. He's down the bottom of the hill, between a hill and the ocean. and there's not a lot of room there. Literally, when you're sitting in that church service, you can very easily just take a stone, throw it, hit the cliff, throw it, hit the water. On the other side, there's just this little pathway. And on that little pathway at the bottom, that's where his village and where the church now is. He's trying to build back up top again, but he's facing some major opposition. They built a foundation. This is what happens often. Built a foundation on a piece of ground that is his, according to his family. And the foundation's there now, but as soon as the foundation was complete, his brother said, "That's my ground." And he said, "No, this dad gave this to me. This is my ground." And so there's the family argument going now. It's in the court system, and the brother's trying to take it and say, "All right, this is the foundation for our new church." His brother is a Seventh-day Adventist pastor in the village. And so there's a fight now over it, and Pastor Nicholson's just saying, "Well, I don't know. We're not going to do anything else. We're not going to build anymore now. It should be my ground." And so when you think about him, pray for him, because they need a new building. They're just not sure where to build. There's no room down below. And so they're facing some challenges. And he's praying to know if it's God's will to move back up top or not. So pray for him, because I don't know. We're praying that God will either open a door or close the door and make it very clear for him. But there's challenges that you face. And when we face those, it's a good question to ask, why are we facing some of these challenges? Why are these things happening? Why did my foot just get crushed? Is it because of me, because I'm trying to force the wrong way, or is it for another reason? And to go before the Lord with that, to not wait until the very end before our eyes are opened and say, "Oh, that's why." Okay, but to go to that place much earlier. Balaam is an example of being in the way. We have other examples. Genesis, where we were back in Genesis 24, just to read that verse again in verse 27. We have I being in the way. The same words, but the way that it's used here has got a very different meaning to it. So Eliezer here in Genesis 24, 27 says, "And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." See, here is an example of someone being in the way that was God's way. He's not in the way. He's in the way. And he says, "I being in the way, God was able to show me where I needed to be, to fulfill what I was doing for him, to make this task possible." And he said, God gets all the glory for it. This was a good example for us. To be in the way so that when God has that final destination, when he has that purpose, when he says, "All right, this is what you've been searching for. This is what you've been asking for. This is what you've been beseeching from me. This, here it is, because you've been in the way. You've been out where you're supposed to be. You've been faithful in it. You've been right where I needed you to be. And now I can show you right what you needed to see." And he was in the way. Being in the way, the Lord led me. That's it. That's one of the things that with our Bible college men, we really try to instill in them. It was a challenge that I heard many, many times as well. And it's a good one that you've probably heard before. But to be reminded of is that if we want to be able to find exactly what God's will is for us and see the best that he has for us, we've got to be in the way. Not like Balaam, in the way. But to be in the way that he has for us, to be following where he has, walking faithful where he would. And then when he's ready, he will show us, "All right, now, this is my purpose. This is what you've been searching for. This is my will for you because you've been in the way. Now I can lead you." And if we do that, maybe we don't know the end destination at the beginning, and that's okay. Talking with Ronald, he came and says, "Pastor, I want to come to Bible college." I said, "Well, why?" He says, "Because I want to go back and I feel that God has called me to pastor in Tana." And I said, "Well, that may be where God has you. There's a need. We've been praying for Tana." I said, "But would you be willing to go?" And I mentioned Ambram. Because Ambram is, for a Tanese man, the last place in Vanuatu you would want to go. It's the mortal enemy. They are as opposite as you can possibly be. I said, "Would you be willing to go to Ambram?" He says, "Oh." He says, I don't know, Pastor. I said, "All right, well, why don't you take a little bit of time? Would you be willing to go anywhere? Because if you say, 'God, I'll go, I'll serve,' what if he has someplace else for you? Would you be willing? He says, I don't know. He says, all right, well, take some time. Go before God with it. And it took him a few days. And he came back and he said, Pastor, if God called me to Ambram, I'd go. He says, I'm praying that he'll call me to Tana. He said, but if he calls me to Ambram, I'll go. And to be honest, I'm praying that, you know, God would send him to Tana. But if it's Ambram, well, amen. Then we'll look to Ambram. There's plenty of places in the country. I being in the way. There's more than just this example in Genesis. If you go to Acts chapter 9, we have another man here that most of you know who was also in the way. Acts chapter 9. Now, this is a man that had been in the way and then was in the way. He found the difference. In Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Now, a lot of you are probably familiar with Acts chapter 9. We start the chapter in verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues. This is Saul determined, I'm going in the way of God, he thought. I am going to Damascus to persecute these Christians that are blaspheming the name of God. He thought he was serving God and doing right. It was his way, not God's way, obviously. But he was going the way to Damascus. And we go down to verse 17, says, and Ananias went his way. So we've got a lot of this in here. Ananias is a whole other story, but if you think about him, this was not an easy way that God asked of Ananias either. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. That part every time, he didn't just say, all right, Saul. Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he goes down to verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. In verse 27, it says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Paul's way changed drastically on the way to Damascus. Now, he had the same option that Balaam did. He had the chance to go and to say, the other men that were with him, they didn't see what Paul saw. Paul, or Saul at that point in time, had the option to be blind just like Balaam and to keep forcing his way, say, I'm in the way. And he would have been right there in the way, and he could have forced his way to Damascus if he wanted. But his eyes were open. And his way changed dramatically. When he got to Damascus, it was a completely different Saul. It was no longer Saul the enemy, Saul the persecutor. It was now brother Saul. Huge change on the way to Damascus. Instead of fighting against and standing with God as his adversary, like we saw with Balaam, he simply bowed and let go of every single thing that was his and asked what the right way was, what God's will was. And we see not just a new way or a new name, but a completely new man in Jesus Christ, from Saul to Paul. We had a gentleman in part of the prison ministry that he was in the newspapers. We found out who he was after. We don't go in and ask people who they are. It's just everybody is just even ground in need of Jesus Christ. We found out who he was. He had been in the newspapers. He had caused major problems. He had burned down churches. He had, arson, murder, multiple beatings. This was a rough man. Had stood up in contempt of court multiple times because he came in full custom dress, which means it was a nombus, which is basically like a gourd that you're wearing around your waist with a piece of string. And the court said, you're in contempt of court, and sent him out multiple times. In prison, he came up after preaching in a portion of Scripture here, preaching on the life of Paul, talked to one of our men, Leith is his name, our deacon in the church, and talked to him, and he said, you were preaching about Paul. He said, well, yes. He says, that's me. He said, just like Paul, that's me. He says, if God could save him, and he started talking to Lee. And one of the questions that he had, we didn't see him accept Christ that day, unfortunately, but he asked this question. He says, look, the pastors, they won't forgive me. They want to see me in prison. The people that I did this to, they won't forgive me. They want to see me in prison. If they won't forgive me, then why would God? And Leith had a chance to go through what forgiveness in Christ meant and cried with the man. I don't know. He was transferred somewhere. We never saw him again after that. And nobody would tell us where he went. So I'm not sure where or what. It was a huge political thing, so they may have sent him back to Tana, where he was from. I'm not sure. But the opportunity and him saying, that's me, when he saw Paul. That was me before. I've persecuted the churches. I burned them to the ground. And he said, could God still save someone like me? And Psalm 25:8 says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he will teach sinners in the way. See, the reason why Jesus Christ came was not for those that were, you know, wonderful and perfect and, you know, moral people. He came for men like him, men like Saul, that needed Jesus Christ, that were in the wrong way and needed a change, needed salvation, needed forgiveness when nobody else was willing to forgive them. And that is what Jesus Christ provided for Saul. And Saul's way changed completely. Saul to Paul, new man, new name, new life, going from cursing to now standing up boldly for the name of Jesus Christ and preaching, we saw in just a few verses afterwards. Eleazar said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. If you go with me to Mark chapter 10. Another example here. Mark chapter 10, down in verse 52. Mark chapter 10, verse 52. Now, in Mark 10 here, we have, if you look just a little bit above, verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And then in verse 52, says, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So Jesus said to him, all right, your faith hath made thee whole. Go thy way. He had the blessing of Jesus Christ himself to go his way. The freedom now completely, without hindrance, without guilt, to say, I have my sight. I'm going to go and all of the things that maybe he's always wanted to do in his life. I can't imagine. Maybe, oh, I've always wanted to do it. I've got to go through. Oh, my family's, I've got, and maybe this huge list of all of these things. I've got to go, and now I've got my way. I'm going to go run in my way. I've got my sight. But that's not the end of the verse. Let's keep reading. It says, and immediately he received his sight. It says, and followed Jesus in the way. He didn't go his way. He said, no, Jesus, your way is now my way. And the way that he went, he followed Jesus. That's pretty amazing. Honestly, I don't know if I was in his place, receive my sight for the first time in my life, be able to see and go through and say, all right, what is it that you want to do with your life now that you've received your sight? It's one of those, you know, popular, famous questions, right? You've accomplished this. You've won the Super Bowl. You've done all of this. You've this amazing thing, this goal, this thing that you wanted, that you've desired has come true. What are you going to do? You know, it wasn't Disneyland. It was, well, Jesus, I'm going to follow you in your way now. Even though he had just been told, it's all right for you to go your way. He said, no, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, in your way. In Amos chapter 7, verse 15 and 16, it says, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock, following his way. It says, and the Lord said unto me, go and prophesy unto my people Israel. Now, therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Straight away, he is up and says, all right, I had the choice. Now, I'm going to do it. Hear thou the word of the Lord. Amazing testimony. We see that often, time after time after time through the Bible. If you go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Matthew 4:18, just a few more men to look at here. There's an unlimited number, but just a few more. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon and Peter," and most of you are probably familiar with their names, "and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." All right, they are actively right in the middle of the task. Okay? It's not between. He didn't wait till break time. This is right in the middle. Okay? It says, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Their hands are on the net. The net is in the process of being cast into the sea. They're right in the middle of the task that is passed down to them. This is their responsibility. This is their duty. And Jesus says, well, very challenging to them, he says, look, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And he tells them, right now, in the middle of what you're doing, follow me. Verse 20, and straightway they left their nets and followed him. Straightway. That means, that's a word that actually works in Bislama. A lot of Bislama has some of the, it's spelled really different, but it works. A lot of King James English in Bislama, I love it. And straightway, if you do something straightway, that means you don't pause, you don't hesitate, you don't pass go, you don't do anything. You just drop exactly what you're doing instantly, let go, and straightway you go. It's not, well, just as, no, straightway. Now, and so, well, in the middle of casting the net, straightway, now, I don't know if the net's just, you know, sunk into the water or what happened, but they straightway, instantly said, all right, we're taking this challenge. Jesus, we will follow you. And his way became their way. It says, and followed him. You go to chapter 9. Still in Matthew, chapter 9, verse 9. And Jesus passed from thence and saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. So he's sitting there, okay, probably a table full of coins and currency right in the middle of his job. This is a pretty important position. This is not somebody that was just sitting on the side of the road with nothing to do. He's right in the middle of a big responsibility. This is one that is not just his job, not just his father's job, but he has some legal obligations with this. Okay? In the middle of his shift, in the middle of his working, and this is where he is, sitting at receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he said, at the end of my shift, when I'm able to go ahead and turn all of this money back in, and I can sign out and let my boss know and give it 2 weeks. No. That's not what happened, right? What does it say? Says, follow me, and he arose and followed him. And just seemingly left the table sitting there. Got up instantly and followed Christ. And said, all right, 180 degrees, everything that I was doing, everything that I was planning, my retirement in this, all of it. Now I'm standing up, and Jesus, I'm turning from all of that. I'm following you. Your way is my way now. Your way is my way. Today, you know, what about us? We have a lot of things in our lives that can sometimes get in the way. And sometimes that thing in the way is just simply us, like Balaam, being in the way of what God has for us. There were good excuses. Jesus himself saying, look, you're free, go your way. And he could have without obligation. But instead he said, no, Jesus, your way is my way. I'm following you. In the middle of the work, the hands on the nets, but this is my father's, we can't let go. No, let go in straight way. In the middle of sitting at the table with all the responsibility in front of him, everybody around to just stand up and say, Jesus, I'm following you. You're my way. And I don't know where you are in your life or where each of us can be individually, but I do know that we have two choices in our life, that we can either be in the way or we can be in the way. And one is going to be way way better than the other. In one, we're going to face opposition. It said that God himself was standing as an adversary against Balaam. That's a hard road to try and walk. It's not a way I would recommend. But sometimes, if we're not careful, it's possible to be there. Saul found himself there, and he was one of the most religious, serving what he thought was serving God with his entire heart, with his entire being, willing to give everything for God. And he didn't know Jesus Christ yet. He hadn't seen Christ yet. When he did, instantly he knew the difference and his way changed. Maybe that's you today. Maybe today you love God with your whole heart. You're trying to serve him with everything that you have. You've done everything that you possibly could. You're willing to give all for him. But you're in the way still. And you haven't truly seen Christ yet. Where Ronald's dad said, if I were to stand before him, I have no hope. I have no assurance. I have no peace. I'm terrified every night about seeing the face of Christ. I'm in the way. He ended up coming to the conclusion. And Saul understood that. Maybe that's you. I don't know. If that's where you are, you can keep fighting. Balaam did. And even when he saw, Balaam chose to continue in his way anyways, if you keep reading. Saul could have, but he didn't. Today, it's a choice. God will never force us to do anything. But today, if you're in your way still, and maybe you're sincere in your way, maybe you're doing everything you possibly can in your way, you have to understand what Paul said. You're still going to come short of the glory of God. It's not enough. It's not his way. And unless you're in his way, there's no hope. There's no salvation. And you just need to see Christ and ask him plainly, what is your way? We know that his way is through Jesus Christ, the way. There is no other way. Maybe today, Christian, we're in the position where Christ has said, follow me. And I don't know what it is. Maybe just to witness to a neighbor. Maybe to become active in service. Maybe to surrender all. To stand up from the table that's in front of you and all of the coins and the currency and the responsibility and all of it, to stand up and say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Maybe to let go of that net that your fingers are tangled in, that you're right in the middle of working and sweating to try and bring in a living, to go through and say, this is my responsibility, this is my duty, this is what's passed down, I don't have a choice, and to instantly, straightway, just let go and say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Maybe you have the freedom to walk a different way, and maybe even God has said, look, go ahead and go your way. But you know you need to say, look, there's no other way I can go. Jesus, your way is my way now. And I will go, I will follow you. And that's something that you will never regret in your life. Paul said, everything that I had before, it was useless. It was, he says, dung is the word that he used. Something that has no value, no import, no purpose in my life. So are you still in the way? We see Balaam, religion's there. God's name was there, but the wrong road. And God was standing as an adversary against him. He says, if you continue in that way, the end is death. There is no life in that way. Is God crying out to you like Saul, like Matthew, Peter, Andrew, Amos, the examples that we saw, time to follow Jesus in the way, like so many that we just saw? Those of us that have seen the light, maybe you're where Saul was, and it's choice time now. Jesus is there. You know what to do. Which way will you go? Pray for our men in Vanuatu. Those of you that were here in Sunday school, pray for Stephen. He is on my heart this morning. Who came and said, this is the way that God has for me. And now he's following a different road for at least the time being. Pray that he doesn't lose sight of the way that God has for him. Pray for him. Pray for Ronald, pray for Hosea, pray for our men in the church. Pray for me that I would stay in the way, never get in the way. Because it's easy to do sometimes. Pray for your pastor, pray for your church, and be willing to look inside and say, well, which way am I in? Am I in the way, or am I in the way where God can lead me? We saw I being in the way, the Lord led me. There is no better place to be. Thank you for making it possible for us to be in Vanuatu. I truly believe with my whole heart that it is the way that God has for us. Pray that he'd continue to open doors while we're there. Pray that more men would stand up and we could see men go from Saul to Paul and see the change in their lives. And see what God has for you. Be in the way so that he can lead you. And today, if you're not sure, in just a little bit, I will turn the service over. Come find someone. Make sure of your way. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your way. Lord, it's so much clearer, so much, but not always easy. Lord, far better than any way that we could ever walk on our own. Lord, I pray that if there's one today that maybe, like Balaam, is standing, and maybe like Saul, Lord, that needs to see you in your way, that needs to have their eyes open, Lord, I pray that your word would do that today. Lord, to show them that there's a different way. Show them what they've been up against. Lord, help them to see, Lord, the truth of Jesus Christ. To find salvation, forgiveness today. Lord, to see that there's a different way possible. Lord, I pray that those of us that know that you are truly our way, Lord, help us to follow you in the way. Lord, to be where you would have us to be so that you can lead us. Lord, that we would never miss an opportunity that you have. Lord, help us to straightway, immediately, to stand up, to follow you, Lord, to make your way our way. Lord, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ.